Welcome back, listeners, to Siouxland Catholic Radio. I'm Joanne Fox. I'm your host for Faith in Action today, and I'm so pleased that you have set your dials to 88.1 FM and that you're listening to. We have some very valuable information to share with you on COVID. I know it's very confusing, and so I appreciate you, tuning into this program. And if you have been with us from the beginning of the show, my first guest was Greg Romig. He is an instructor at Western Iowa Tech Community College, and I thank him for taking time out of his busy schedule to share his information on viruses and vaccines. And now in the studio with me is Dr. Michael Young, who is with the Siouxland Residency Program. And we talked in the last segment about how you were treating the virus with folks who came in, and maybe some, best strategies for those of us who are out and about, and how we can make sure we're healthy. But I'm curious, with working with the residents and these young people, because you have been around and you've seen quite a bit of different things going on with healthcare, but they have not. So when they talk to you, what are their concerns about, especially this COVID?
Yeah, that's a good observation. So medical education thrives on patient contact. And so our medical students and our residents have spent the last 2 years under an environment where they had limited patient contact. And in fact, a lot of the education was done virtually. So it would be like going to medical school online and learning, clinical diagnostic skills and examining patients and being one-on-one with a practicing physician examining patients was not allowed back then. So like a lot of the third and fourth year medical students in the past 2 years have basically been learning by the book and by virtual means. And initially, the medical students were being protected from getting involved with COVID patients because we didn't know what their risks were. And we were trying to protect the limited number of protected equipment that was available. So if there was an interesting case in the hospital, 10 people couldn't put on all of their protected equipment. And so there weren't any contacts with that. So initially, most physicians were not actually on direct contact with patients. So even our family medicine residents weren't directly seeing patients during the first part of the pandemic. Once we flattened the curve and we learned about some of the standard treatments and we had a standard protocol for how to treat our COVID patients, we then were able to incorporate all learners into the managing them. But in general, healthcare delivery has been changed a lot just from the resident training. We have a COVID hotline, and so a physician is running that all the time and answering questions and triaging patients so that they will get care. And now that we're back face-to-face with patients and people are vaccinated, we're bringing them into the office to get some of their health maintenance, their screening colonoscopies or mammograms and medication follow-up and labs, many of which people were gone a year, almost up to 2 years, without any of those things. So we had to gear up our delivery system to get people caught up with some of their health maintenance.
And I guess that's something that people don't think about, is that life goes on. And yes, you need your mammogram, and yes, you need your colonoscopy, and yes, you need to have a conversation about your diabetes. And when you're kind of freaked out about the COVID, that's hard, because you're really at an impasse. You're not sure what to do. Pick up the phone, I guess, and call your healthcare provider and ask, what should I do?
Yeah, and I think in general, I think this has heightened people's awareness that they, you know, they miss getting in to get their health care delivered personally, and they did not like telehealth visits. You know, it just didn't seem like it was worth it. But even though we're still doing telehealth, we're getting more people back into the office as long as they get screened for COVID symptoms. And if they have COVID symptoms, then we still do telehealth visits.
And one of the things I think is interesting for all of us is the information about COVID and the fatality rates from it. And it's sometimes very hard to discern who's got the right information, because this is complicated, mm-hmm. because you have people who are immune compromised, and so they pass away, and well, could it be from the COVID, or could it be from the fact that they were in the last stages of pancreatic cancer? And that becomes a little confusing. So where do you find like really solid good information, again, to help us better figure out what we should be doing with our personal health?
Yeah, there's a lot of good personal health sites available. I mean, we typically do rely on a lot of the recommendations from the Center for Disease Control, CDC, but all the professional organizations do have, you know, recommendations. And so all of like the American Academy of Family Medicine or the American Academy of Peds, they all have websites available for patients to seek that information. There's something called the United States Preventative Services Task Force, and they do make recommendations for people as to what they should do at what stage in their life and what their risk factors are. So we take all of those into consideration. There's pure medical sites. Some have a hidden agenda, and so you have to be careful what you read on the internet sometimes, but there are good sites, you know, standard sites that I think are very helpful.
Okay, excellent. And so maybe the best course of action is, with concerns, to just pick up the phone and call your healthcare provider, your doctor, your nurse, and say, this is something I'm concerned about, be it, you know, my personal health or something I read somewhere. I would think that healthcare provider would welcome that opportunity to make sure this individual on the other end of the phone was feeling comfortable and confident about what was going on.
Yeah, I think during the pandemic, all offices have done more phone triage and phone medicine. So we know we don't want them coming in. We can talk them through whatever they're going through. And if it does sound serious, we get them tested, we get them evaluated, and if it appears they're sick enough, we send them to the hospital to be further evaluated.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I think that we've all experienced is we have lost friends to COVID. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, you know, that you went to Catholic schools. Mm-hmm. So what role does your faith play as you kind of experienced this? Really, this is life-altering, you know, living in this time period and going through this virus. So what role has your faith played in all of this?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, people are getting more in touch with their mortality, you know, and I think they have also realized that their lifestyle can affect the risks of the disease. I think from my faith perspective, I think people are more in tuned to the importance of community and getting together with people, and you know, being isolated at home, I think caused more problems of depression. I think we saw more kids with behavioral problems, and I think even like with the church, you know, as not being able to attend your church with your community, the sacraments, all of those things were restricted. it changed the environment of our lives. We became isolated, and that is not normally our way that we communicate our faith, communicate with other people. But I do think, in general, people have rebounded nicely, that they realized that how they appreciated their church, their faith, their sacraments, and the community they live with, their net family, getting together a little bit more, but also protecting them.
How has it changed you in particular with your faith?
I missed going to church. I missed the sacraments. I didn't really feel comfortable sitting in my living room with a donut watching Mass. It just didn't seem right. And then I realized I was missing the sacraments, the Eucharist as a Catholic, and my community of believers. We were isolated, just missing their connection at work. You know, we were... I was eating lunch by myself in my office rather than in a group of meeting or teaching students. We were more isolated ourselves. So getting back to church, being able to receive the sacraments has been a blessing. And, you know, I believe that we're heading out of this and we know more about it, and it's going to change us probably forever, but maybe to the better.
Okay, and that's very hopeful, and that's of course our dream in all of this, is it changes us for the better. It has changed us all. And that kind of wraps up today's show. I want to thank my guests on the show today, Greg Romig from Western Iowa Tech Community College, Dr. Michael Young from the Siouxland Residency Program. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to share your insights with our listeners.
Thank you very much for having me. It was my privilege.
And listeners, I want to remind you that Faith in Action airs every Monday at 9 a.m. It replays every Saturday at 7 p.m. You can also find past productions of this show on our website, fhcradio.com. You click Listen Live and Podcasts, and there you are. So on behalf of my producer for this show, Ann Reed, and myself, I want to remind you that, you know, faith in action is good. A faithful reaction is even better. So, God bless. Keep the faith.